To Luke chapter 9. I'll read the text for us. It's the last part, chapter 9. It's been a great chapter. I read it all. And it said it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I'm glad he said not going to enter the kingdom of God, right? He said he's not fit to enter the kingdom of God. And there is a thought I might share with you that when you are ready to go to heaven, God takes you to heaven. And it takes God a long time to get some of us ready. We have to go through things, and we get up there about, like Brother Jim over here, about 90 years old. And man, God must have been working on him hard overtime to get him, and it's taken a long time to get him ready. And some people get ready early. And so, not fit for the kingdom of God. God gets you fit for it. And that kind of matches our running too. But being saved includes a call to be a disciple. You agree with that? Kind of the terms are used interactively. Disciple of Jesus or Christian. We've come up with the ideal of Christian from the scripture in the book of Acts. They were called Christians first at Antioch. So we use Christian. Some groups use disciple and all that because it's trying to get back to the original, what it means to be a Christian, which is to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, three guys are spoken about here in the text. Notice verse 57, it says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said to him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. So this guy comes up and volunteers. Said, Lord, I'm going to follow you anywhere and everywhere you go. So Jesus immediately tells him, it's not going to be no pretty journey. It's not going to be no easy journey. If you really want to do that, I want you to think about this. I don't have a place to lay my head. He might even been saying, if you think there's going to be some monetary benefits from this, you might want to reconsider. You follow that? So the first one came to the Lord, and then in verse 59, and he said to another, follow me. So Jesus went to another, and he said, follow me. And then this guy said, Lord, suffer me first. Suffer me first to go and bury my father. And then in verse 61, and another said unto him, said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first bid them farewell which are at my house. So we got three people here. Jesus approached one of them, and two approached Jesus. I think that's a great thing for us to think about if you just really want to think about that. We're all saved in a different way in the sense that some of us, someone came to us, and then on the other hand, some of us come to the Lord. It don't matter. It works both ways. That's not real important, but I wanted to share that with you. Now, Jesus used the term follow me often in the gospel, didn't he? Follow me. Follow me. I think of Matthew. He went to Matthew, the tax man. If you ever watch the new Chosen series, you'll see Matthew's a big part of that early character. So he said to Matthew, follow me. And then he said to the rich young ruler, didn't he? How many remember that? The rich young ruler. He said, follow me. And he said to Philip, follow me. And he said to Peter, follow me. And so Jesus says, follow me. And the question for us is, are we willing to follow Jesus? Are we following Jesus? And this word follow, by the way, if you look in the original language, it implies a future continuation. Not just that moment, not just that day, but a continuation of following Jesus. You know, when it comes to being saved, this is just my own thoughts. From Scripture, I think. I think it's a secondary thought from Scripture. People make professions of faith. And I don't think everybody that makes a profession gets saved. Because the Lord knows who is really being real. And some, as we read in the parables, they follow for a while and then they fall away. I don't think they ever was saved. No, I can't say absolutely. But I'm just saying. The Lord doesn't commit himself to everyone that makes a voice mouth, a profession, because he knows the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So some people are not really saved because it wasn't from their heart. It wasn't real. Too often, though, we think about the experience of accepting Christ, and we think about the emotional aspect of accepting Christ, which when being saved is not a moment of emotion that we experience, but it's a commitment to Jesus Christ to follow him, to go beyond, that goes beyond that moment. Would you agree with that? I think you would agree with that. It's something that goes on in our heart that makes a difference in life. So we could just make the commitment or the statement. But there's false statements, false conversion, and the real conversion has to do with the heart. Now, when you get saved, there's a rearrangement of our priorities. Okay, are we there? When you get saved, there's a rearrangement of priorities. You're changed within, but then you have to change without. You got to quit going to the places you used to go, quit doing the things you used to do, and start doing some new things that you never was comfortable with before. And you, as a Christian, as a new Christian, you got to take some uncomfortable steps in the right direction to really be a follower of Jesus. Would you agree with that? It really calls for a flip-flop of our priorities. So the question is, are you willing to be a disciple? Are you really willing to be a disciple? You really want to know whether you're saved or not? The question is, are you willing to be his disciple? And there will be a cost. Now, I'm not going to tell you what the cost of being a Christian is for you, for being a disciple of Christ for you, but there is and going to be a cost. If it costs you nothing, it is of no value. Anything free is of no value. There's got to be some cost involved. And are you willing to follow Jesus regardless of the cost? Are you? I'm asking you a question. I want you to answer in your heart. Are you willing to follow Jesus regardless of what it costs? And I ask you another question. If you're not willing to follow Jesus regardless of the cost, or have you really made a commitment to follow Jesus at all? Just something to think about. And the question I would follow that with is Jesus worth it? I've been saved for quite some time now. And so the question for us that's been saved a long time, is Jesus worth it? And he is. He's worth it all. And he initiated the thing in our heart, and he completes the thing. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And if we can't say he's worth it, it makes us doubt whether we truly are his or not. Now, we all know what real commitment is, don't we? What is real commitment? How many of you, let's put it this way. How many of you would, guys, would marry your wife, and not your wife, but let's think of just another situation. Let's say you're not married, and you're dating a woman, seeing a woman, and y'all are in love, and yeah, we call it love, and you're about to get married. You ask her to marry, and she says, yes, I will marry you, but there's just one thing. Okay, think about this, guys. This girl says, I'll marry you, but there's just one thing. She says, I got an old boyfriend. I don't want to be with him, but maybe one time every year or so, I'd like to spend a night with him. But I'll be back the next day, and I'll be loyal, and I'll be committed to you, and I promise you, that's all I'm just wanting you to know, once every now and then, I want to spend the night with my old boyfriend. I don't need anybody to raise their hand, do I? No one would accept that condition, would you? So are we putting conditions on Jesus? And we shouldn't, should we? So I got some questions about discipleship. First of all, the cost of discipleship, the cost of comfort in discipleship. There's a cost. Is there a cost of comfort? And is there, verse 57, he says, and it came to pass, as he went on the way, a certain man said to him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Verse 58, and Jesus answered and said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his. Jesus said there's a cost. He gives this guy this example. He said, I don't have a place. There is a cost to being a disciple. Is Jesus worth it? Is the question. Now back to that rich young ruler. You remember Jesus, he came to Jesus and he said, Lord, I'll follow you. I want to be your disciple. I want to do this thing with you. And verse 16, and it said, behold, one came and said to him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? First of all, he's on the wrong page. There's nothing you can do to have eternal life, right? But he comes to the Lord and he wants to be a disciple. In verse 21, Jesus said to him, if thou would be perfect, he said, go sell that thou hast and give to the poor, that thou may have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And then it says, and when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, understand this, he came under the wrong pretense that he could do something to inherit eternal life. So what we have here is a false convert. He's not going to be saved. What can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, knowing that, said, okay, all right, you've done all these good things, and now you want to go to heaven. He said, go sell everything you got and follow me and be my disciple. And the guy couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. Now, this doesn't say that God asked every one of us to do that. That's not what the truth he was teaching. The truth he was teaching, this guy wasn't ready to be a disciple. He really wasn't ready. Luke 14, verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you intend to build a tower, he sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he be able to finish it. So likewise, whosoever of you that forsakes not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Jesus, you're asking a whole lot here. You want me to forsake all? Now listen, it's not that he wants us to forsake all, but he wants us in our heart to have Jesus as the priority. Jesus, we got to be willing to go through the uncomfortableness of being a disciple. Is Jesus first in our life? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Where is Jesus? Is he first? Or where is he? Is he on the priority list somewhere in there? He shouldn't be anywhere in there. He should be above it all. If there comes a time that you have to pay a price to be a Christian, are you willing? Are you ready to pay it? Verse 58, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. There's a prosperity gospel going around today, isn't there? That if you follow Jesus, you're gonna be on the winning team. You know, remember when few ball players pointed up when they hit a home run, you know, and now everybody's pointing up and doing all kinds of gestures, you know, going to be a winner. And I sure understand why athletes pray, but the reality, are we willing to follow Jesus as a loser, that we're not winning? I'm not saying you're going to be a loser, but you got to be willing. John 6:67, thinking about this, Jesus said to that group, will you also go away? Many people were leaving him in John 6. He's getting ready to go to the cross. John is the last week of the Lord's life. If you really want the context of John 6, it really deals with the last, after the introduction, it gets down to the last part of the Lord's life on earth. And man, he had many followers in John 6. And many of them went away. few there be that find the way to life, aren't they? See, we're in the age where a profession of faith is all that's required and you go to heaven. I agree in making professions of faith, but there has to be a heart conversion. And that mouth better be connected to the heart, or you will go away. And let me tell you something that we believe, something that you are a part of a group that believes. We believe of those that go away, most never really were saved. Many go away, the saved ones come back. You got it? You got it. Okay. So is Jesus first? Will you fall away? Will you turn away? Is Jesus worth more than the personal comforts in your life? Is Jesus, I mean, you know, it's really good being a Christian. It's really fine. I love being a Christian, but when you don't love it, are you going to live for Christ? Are you going to be committed to Christ? The Christian life will bring comforts, it will bring blessing, it brings abundance, but there's sometimes a Christian life brings discomfort. Man, I knocked on the door yesterday. I was tired and worn out, and this guy was giving it to me, and I was trying to give it back a little bit. I was totally uncomfortable. The Christian life brings discomforts. Think about it for a minute. Oh, Peter, remember? Peter was on cloud nine. He said, Lord, I'll follow you to the end of the world. Nothing's going to get in the way. Nothing's going to stop me. I'll never forsake you. What happened that night? It got uncomfortable, didn't it? They said, are you one of his disciples? Hey, when he was with that crowd of people, when he was, let's say, when he was in church, oh, he could just talk. But he got out there that night, and three times it was uncomfortable, and three times he was defeated, wasn't he? And he was totally embarrassed. It cost him his pride, cost him repentance, and he goes out after the resurrection, and he's the guy out there fishing, and the Lord comes to him and says, Peter, I love you. I love you. Peter had totally failed the Lord, totally wasn't with the Lord. Aren't you glad Jesus loved him anyway? Peter one time was confronted by Paul. Most of you might, probably don't realize this. You got to read and read and reread to get some of this stuff from Scripture. But there was a time Paul confronted Peter. Peter was going out with the Gentile folks, and man, I'll just use it. He was eating pork, amen? You know what I'm saying? He was just eating meat off of the idols. He was just having a good old time with the Gentiles. And he was just living up. But when he got with the Jews, with those Pharisaical type Jews, oh, he acted like he never would do none of that stuff. No, how dare anybody do that? He was being a hypocrite. It was very uncomfortable when he was confronted. But there's times we have to be confronted. Sometimes God, the Spirit of God, confronts us about things in our life, about sin in our life. Man, I tell you, if you don't have course corrections by God in the Christian life, you're going to end up in a ditch. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Peter had to be confronted. He was confronted by his pride, and when he denied Jesus, and the Lord said, I love you. I haven't changed my mind about you. And then after he's a mature Christian, he done preached and 3,000 people got saved in one day. And this, though Peter's playing a hypocrite again. Hey, does anybody ever get to be perfect in this life? Peter proves us that he wasn't. The discipleship command is not that we be perfect, but that we be willing to go through the things we need to go through, and we stick it out with Jesus. Sin is comfortable sometimes. Are we willing to yield to the Holy Spirit instead of the flesh? It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. So that's the first question of discipleship, the question of comfort. Are we willing to follow Jesus when it's not comfortable? That's a question. Am I willing to follow Jesus And follow him, not just stare at him, but follow him through the uncomfortable. Some of you, the uncomfort may be just not getting out of bed on Sunday morning. You know, I'm amazed at how many people don't like to get out of bed. If that's where you're at, choose to be uncomfortable and follow Jesus. Now, the second question, it's the question of the cost of obligation or priority. The question of priority. Verse 59 in the text. And he said unto another, follow me. But the man said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. The Lord invites this man to follow. He goes to him. The others just came to Jesus. He goes to this man. And he said, I'll do it. But let me first. He's putting Jesus off. He's putting Jesus second. It's not a worthless excuse. He said, I want to go take care of burying my father. It's not a worthless excuse. Some of us have worthless excuses, right? But this has got some work to it. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Boy, Jesus, you're really being tough right here. You're being hard on this guy. All he wants to do is go bury his father. Hey, Jesus said, I don't care what the excuse is. It's not good enough. Amen. I'm trying to learn to throw my voice with. Don't sound like I said it. We got to understand, Jesus is teaching us truth here. He's not teaching us opinion or our persuasion. The tendency for us to rationalize what we do is one of the greatest tendencies in our life, isn't it? I would have done that if it wasn't for this. Our tendency to rationalize get in the way of God. Our behavior to set aside and step aside personal responsibilities, being the ultimos instead of personal responsibility to Jesus himself. Jesus said he is the priority. Can you see that? Oh, I can see them old disciples looking at, Lord, this is a hard saying. Can y'all see that? Oh, this is hard. You say, I'm not supposed to put my baby in front of Jesus? I'm not supposed to put my parents in front of Jesus? No. Now, let me tell you something. Putting Jesus first don't hinder all of that stuff. But the priority must be Jesus. Excuses. I hear them every day. The devil will supply them if in church you'll stay away. I can't sing the rest of it. I should know it all. I should know it by excuses. Remember Jesus told us in Luke 14, he invited people to a supper. You remember that story? And he said that they would, each one would consent, began to make excuse. I bought a piece of ground. I need to go see it. And the other one said, I bought five oxen. I got to go test them. And then the last one, the only one had a good excuse. He said, I married a wife. No explanation at all. Is it needed? It's not needed. Amen. I married a wife. I love the humor of the Bible, don't you? God's word is humorous. Listen, these excuses are foolish, though. I bought a piece of ground. I must go look at it. Why didn't you look at it before you bought it? Right? Tim, isn't that an excuse? He said, I got to go look at it. Now I done paid the money for it. Then I bought five yoke of oxen. I need to go try them out. Excuse. And you know, you could look at those three excuses and you can put them up here. I have a tendency to put them down here. You want to put them up there? I got land. I need to take care of my land. I got oxen. I need to take care of my oxen. I got a wife. I need to take care of my wife. Hey, I don't care what it is. If it's before Jesus, it gets in the way. Yeah, verse 24, I say to you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I realize that talking about getting saved or lost or staying lost, but I think you understand that we don't need to put any excuses. Jesus needs to be the obligation. Jesus needs to be the priority. Conversion of Peter. Matthew 16, Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, I'm going to go die. I'm going to die. And they're going to bury me at the hands of the... Oh, Peter's saved. He's converted. But he says, Lord, you're not going to do that. He's saved. He said, I'm not going to let you do that. It said, let me read it what it says in verse 16. And Jesus took him and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine rebuking Jesus? Peter, he rebukes Jesus saying, be it far from you, Lord, it shall not come to pass. What did Jesus say to Peter? Peter's saved now. What did Jesus say? Y'all remember? Verse 23, it says this. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. That's why I told you he's converted at first, right? He was converted, but he's speaking the words of Satan. And what's he speaking words? He's speaking the words of excuse and compromise and not priority. Jesus made it a priority to do the Father's will. And Peter said, Lord, be it far from you to do that. God wouldn't want you to do that, Jesus. He don't want you to die. He wants you to live. Let me ask you a question, folks. The New Testament, does it teach us that we're to die? It teaches us we're to die daily, doesn't it? And he said, get behind me, Satan. The last time you was wanting to really do something right for the Lord, I guarantee you, there was a voice in your head that said, you ought not do that. And somebody, some other voice came down, well, the preacher wouldn't do that. Or, where's the deacons at? They're not doing that. Oh, that's the voice of reason. Really? Or is that not the voice of Satan? In our relationship between me and God, right? Am I not to do right because somebody else doesn't do right? We're in the wrong track if that's our philosophy. Well, nobody else does. I'm not going to do it. Well, somebody's got to step up and do it, don't you? That's the person that makes the difference in life. The one that will step up and say, I will. You can count on me. I'll do it. Get thee behind me, Satan. All of us need to learn that one. Notice, I'll read the rest of it. He said, thou art an offense unto me, and thou savest not the things that be of God, but of the things that be of men. Can you imagine that the Lord Jesus Christ was struggling before he went to the cross? Can you imagine with me that he was? Doesn't the Bible say he was? In the garden he prayed. And then he said, not my will, but thy will. It wasn't his will to go to the cross. Who in their right mind wants to die, especially on a cross? Oh, we got this idea of Jesus. Let me just go die. And then some people want him to die again and die again and die again. He died once and for all. And I'm going to tell you something. He said, that's it. That's all I'm going to do it. We could take the doctrinal truth there and say he only had to do it once. But I'm taking the practical understanding. He said, I ain't done it for once. I ain't doing it no more. That's how cruel the cross was. Thou art an offense unto me. I'll be honest with you. I've had a lot of good friends say, you ought not do that. And they were thinking about my good. And I appreciate them feeling that way. But sometimes, folks, sometimes the devil is speaking through the friend and saying, don't do that. We need to do it. We need to, the priority needs to be Jesus. And sometimes there's a cost of comfort. Amen. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, that's us, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Don't you just hate those verses? Preacher, why don't you find some positive verses that build me up and encourage me and make me feel good about what I've done, make me feel good about the Christian life, like I don't need to do nothing but trust in the grace of God? Because we need the other ones, don't we? And Jesus said to his disciples, speaking to us, if any of you, if any man, come after me, if you really want to come after me, let him deny himself. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Verse 25, and whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. He tells us the way to find the abundant life is dying to self and putting Jesus first. Now listen, there's some people just not even saved. This don't register. This turns them off. This is just blah, blah, blue, blue, blah, blah. But if you're a Christian, it's registered. It's registered. What shall a man profit if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? These are good verses. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, he'll find it. Listen, it costs something to be a Christian. Not always, but sometimes it costs. And if we were in Africa, I would say it almost always costs. The reason it doesn't always cost in America is because we've got a history of acceptance of Christianity and civil life. In Africa, you proclaim to be a Christian. By the way, the First Baptist Church of Baghdad does not exist anymore. Remember, tanking democracy around the world? The First Baptist Church established, it does not exist anymore. At least surface, on the surface. I don't know about underground. There's Christian people that paid for their faith in Christ with their life. When we pulled out of Afghanistan, I guarantee you, I think I've read something about it, but I hadn't gotten into enough to say for sure. Christians died. It costs. See, the problem with discipleship is it's real. Now this man, I think we could nail his problem down with three words. He said in verse 59, suffer me first. Suffer, allow me to be first. I think we can draw that from this, can't we? I think he'd been better off. He said, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you everywhere. And if I get time, I'm going to go here. Would it be all right, Lord, if I do this? No, he said, I'm going to do this first. Take your hair wherever you want to. It's all about the priority. Verse 60 in the text, and Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Friends, if Jesus is not the priority in our life, we're going to hit a wall somewhere. It's not going to work out for us. God's going to discipline that if we're truly a disciple. Jesus says emphatically, I don't take second place. I don't go. I don't play second fiddle. You don't put me where you want me. I'm Lord. Jesus is Lord. Take care of work. We got to work. He knows that. We got to pay our bills. We got to have a home. We got family. We got family obligations. We have funerals. There's funerals are real. We have farewells. We have all that. But Jesus needs to be first. That's what he's teaching. See, there's a difference between what the Bible says and what the Bible is teaching, that Jesus has to be first. What's that old song? Jesus is all the world to me. I tell you what, I've sung that song before and got under conviction. Is he all the world to me? All to Jesus I surrender. Those are discipleship thoughts. Surrender. Verse 24 of Luke 9, 24. Let's pick up verse 24. He said, and for whosoever shall will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And then verse 23, and Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Verse 25, and what is a man advantage if he were to gain the whole world, lose himself, or be cast away? See, our soul is important. Your soul, you need nourishing your soul. You need to put your soul as a priority. Not your flesh, but your soul. And he said, what a man going to gain if he loses himself? We all know people that have lost themselves. Lord, help us not lose ourselves. Yeah. I wish somebody would fix that clock up there sometime. I actually go by the clock. I know when there's a 2-minute warning. And you got to play with the clock. Let me first. What's the problem? Now, the last one's easy and quick, and it don't take much. No looking back. Look at our text again. The last verse. Jesus said to him, verse 62. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I don't know. It looked like the Lord's got some standards there in discipleship, doesn't he? God, He when He calls you to serve Him, you got to make some decisions. Once you begin, you got to follow up. You don't look back. I would say don't look back at your failures, too. Look forward. You can't plow a straight line looking back. I was raised in cotton country, and man, I don't know why. It's a priority to have straight roads because them other farmers drive up and down that road, and they want to see straight roads. I have heard of farmers plowing the field up and laying them out straight. I've heard of it. I didn't see it. You can't plow looking back. You got to put your eyes. That's the way my grandfather taught me how to set a straight road. He said, find your focus, a point out there, and go towards it. And don't look around. Look at it. Isn't that right? Hebrews 12 tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Then he talks about considering that there's a cloud of witnesses watching us all around us. We're to look unto Jesus. No looking back. Lot's wife, what happened to her? She looked back, didn't she? Turned into a pillar of salt. Yeah. Why did God do that? Salt. Ye are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its saltiness, it's not worth anything but to be cast out under the foot of man. She looked back, lost her saltiness, became a pillar of salt. Did she look back because Sodom was all in her heart and she looked back at it and wanted it? We don't know. We don't have to know. We need to quit having God explain things to us because God don't need to explain things to us. He just said, don't look back. No man looking back. One man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Don't look back. It's a question of discipleship. Are you looking back? Are we looking at Jesus, the author and finisher? God loves us. God will save us. Jesus died on the cross at Calvary for our sins. I want to invite you to give your life to Christ and trust Him. If you've never done that, if you are a disciple that needs to answer some questions about discipleship, I invite you to come to this altar and lay it down. Let's all stand. Our musicians come. Do you need to make a commitment? Maybe you haven't followed the Lord in baptism. You need to do that. We invite you to come. Make that commitment to follow Jesus in baptism. Maybe you need to just decide once and for all, Jesus, you're everything, and I'm going to let you be everything in my life. Let's sing that out now. Let's sing it to the Lord. You come.
trust him in
come today.
His presence.
Is there anything between you and God? Anything before God?
I surrender all.
Anything you need to lay on the altar? Singing those words, and you come if you need to make a decision.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Only
at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken.
Take
me, Jesus.
That commitment to Christ. Take me. Will you make that commitment to Christ? Between you and Him.
All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus.
Everybody today. I just spotted a few more that I didn't know were here. Thank God that you're here. Let's have our ushers come to receive the morning offering. We have service tonight.